mom says, clean up underneath your bed.
I don't know if your mom, she goes, when my dear mom says, clean up under your bed. Brindley. Really, I'm sorry. Oh, that's cute. But you know, when you're out with your mom and dad and stuff in the store and somebody says something to you nice, thank you. So it's a powerful two words. And Thanksgiving, the day we celebrate, is a day that we celebrate not only for our country and what we have here, but it's also a time when we can tell God lots of thanks. Okay? So thank you for coming up. And Miss Cheryl has got some bags for you, okay? You already got them? I want to share with you this morning about wholehearted gratitude. It's just a good old Thanksgiving sermon, and you know, it's stuff you've heard before, but sometimes we've got to hear it again. And a man is trying to cross the street. And as he steps off the curb, a car comes screaming around the corner and heads straight for him. The man walks faster, trying to hurry across the street. But the car changes lanes and is still coming at him. So the guy turns around to go back, but the car changes lanes again and is coming at him. By now the car is so close and the man is so scared that he just freezes and stops in the middle of the road. The car gets real close, swerves at last possible moment, and screeches to a halt right next to him. The driver lowers the window. The driver is a squirrel. The squirrel says to the man, "See, it's not as easy as it looks like, is it?" Sometimes gratitude isn't as easy as it looks like. It ought to be, but it isn't. Winston Churchill, and I love many of the quotes and the things that he said and his inspiration to England during those times of World War II, but he tells this story about a sailor who was walking along the shores of Plymouth Harbor and heard the cry for help of a small boy who had gotten into the water and was drowning. And the sailor jumped in, rescued the boy. And a few days later, the boy and his mother were on the street and they met this sailor. And the boy kind of nudges his mom, and she thought she recognized the sailor, of course. And the mother asks, "Are you the sailor who pulled my little boy out of the water?" And the sailor grinned and he saluted and said, "Yes, ma'am." And with her face set in stern lines and her lips unsmiling, she quickly snapped at the sailor and said, "Then where's his cap?" I would ask, where's the gratitude? Where's the gratitude at that moment? In Psalms, the 9th chapter, and we're going to kind of do this in triplets here. We're going to repeat this part three times in three different translations. So the first one up here is Amplified, and it says, "I will praise you." Okay, yours is different than mine. I will read up there. "I will give thanks and praise. I will give thanks and praise the Lord with all my heart. I will tell you aloud all your wonders and marvelous deeds. I will rejoice and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, Most High." And the next translation, I think, is my good old NLT. I love it. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High." And then we put in the Message, which is kind of every common day language, and it says, it's a Psalm of David. "I'm thanking you, God, from a full heart. Woo! I'm writing the book on your wonders. I'm whistling, laughing, and jumping for joy. I'm singing your song, High God." This week, as we talked earlier with the kids, we celebrate Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is not just a holiday celebration once a year. It's an attitude of the heart all year long. It's an attitude of the heart that produces joy. And the words of these two verses that we shared together are so fitting for an attitude of gratitude, because that's exactly what David expressed. It's very important to not limit our gratitude to God. I've never met anyone yet who has not liked to be thanked when Thanksgiving is due. Surely, God appreciates it when we express our thankfulness for His abundant grace, His generosity, His love, and His mercy. And it's a must. It's an absolute must to take the slice of gratitude and slather on humility, along with some Hogan honey, of course, and say, God, without Your goodness and kindness towards me, I don't know what I would do. There's a song that I play once in a while, and it's Jesse Dixon sings it. It's a simple song, but it's one of the most powerful ones. And one of the lines, and basically the theme of the song, says, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. And in the verse of that song, it talks about how I thought I was going to be number one, and I'm going to do things on my own, and I'm going to build whatever, and I don't care if it's on life sinking sand. And then all of a sudden it comes to that, and I can't even walk without You holding my hand. And that's it with us in Christ. It doesn't mean that we are just weaklings. It means that we have learned that the dependence we have on Him is our strength. So whenever you're struggling spiritually, or if you're struggling emotionally, take a moment and pause and check your thankfulness gauge. It's like the little light that comes on the dash in your car. If it's low, ask the Lord to help you add more to that level of gratefulness. Because when you stop to consider God's wonders around you, it's enough to ignite the fires of gratitude towards Him. And sometimes it can be the littlest thing, if we're watching. Because Thanksgiving gives you and I a designated opportunity to think about the mystery, the majesty of God, and His wonderful, wonderful creation. You see, from the earth, we get our food, we get our clothing, we get our shelter. Birds and animals come along and entertain us. I don't know when I've seen so many squirrels this year. Or acorns. I mean, we got them all over the place. Our neighbor does. We don't have a... And they just come down on our place. And I think one time the other day I looked out and there's six squirrels. And they're in the yard. They're digging in my grass. I quit shooting them with the BB gun, so it's okay. We're doing all right, me and the squirrels, you know. And then along come the flowers and the trees, and they delight our eyes. They cheer our spirits. We get a little snow. We get rain. And that provides us with the best drink of all, precious water. Thanksgiving is our reminder to consider the wonders of God. And when hard times come, it seems that we become more thankful. Our history takes us back to the time of the pilgrims and that first Thanksgiving. And they were ready to be thankful when those who survived that first bitter winter, they made it to that next fall harvest. Half of the settlers died. The rest had barely made it, despite starvation and the bitter cold. And when things began to look a little better, they were indeed grateful to God for the life and harvest. And so William Bradford, if you remember our history, one of the leaders of them said, "Our fathers were Englishmen who came over. this great ocean and were ready to perish in the wilderness. But they cried to the Lord, and He heard their voice, and He looked on their adversity. Let them therefore praise the Lord, because He is good and His mercies endure forever. And Bradford goes on and he said, yes, let them which have been redeemed of the Lord show how He has delivered them from the hand of the oppressor. When they wandered in the desert wilderness out of the way and found no city to dwell in, both hungry and thirsty, their soul was overwhelmed in them. Let them confess before the Lord His loving kindness and His wonderful works before the sons of men. The pilgrims thanked God wholeheartedly, and they hoped their descendants would also. I was thinking about some of this, and I thought it'd be just kind of neat, kind of wonderful, you might say, if, particularly on this Thanksgiving Day, and it may be difficult with family around, I know that, but here's just my thoughts, that you slip off alone just for a moment or two, and you probably need it, and you express your love to God. That's it. Nothing formal, just a little brief heart-to-heart talk with your Heavenly Father and letting Him know how thankful you are. How thankful you are for the cross and what Jesus did. How grateful you are to have your sins forgiven and that your final destination is heaven. And how much this gift of amazing grace means to you, and how much it means to know that you're loved no matter what. Or maybe how much life means to you. Or express how appreciative you are for your family and friends, or how much you love this blessed and beautiful country with all our cherished freedoms. How grateful you are for the church and the people who worship here with you. You go down those things and it begins to make sense, doesn't it? That we have every right to be grateful. In Psalms 100, and that's a beautiful psalm, in verses 4 and 5, the Scripture says this. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And His faithfulness continues to each generation. I shared this with you some time ago, and speaking of generations reminds me of it. But I want to share with you a scripture that is, it's something that Cheryl and I shared it with each other. It's in Genesis, the 17th chapter. And many times at our worship time in the morning, we'll just say this, or she'll start it, and I'll repeat it as we go through it. But this is the Lord. This is the Lord coming to Abraham, and He's speaking this to Abraham, and it comes home to me more maybe at this time of the year as something of thanksgiving and a promise of what God wants to do, and it's something that you can take and fit it into your family this way. We'll let you, even though we claimed it as our own, we'll let you use it for a little bit. And it's in Genesis, the 17th chapter, and it's verse 7. And here's what it says. This is the Lord talking to Abraham. It's kind of like He comes up and He says, Abe, I want you to listen. Here's what I've got for you, Abe. I will establish My covenant as an everlasting covenant between Me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come. Listen to that. For generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I'm going to say it again and give it to you in bite-sized pieces. And here we go. You can repeat it. I will establish My covenant as an everlasting covenant between Me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Amen. That's right. It puts family in a whole new perspective, doesn't it? When you're able to take that and pray over it and realize that we have so much to be thankful for and so much that we can do within our family. Because it's really not about just now. It's about descendants after us, generations to come. One day, a minister was at a cemetery to bury a friend of an 80-year-old man. And he and the old man walked along. They were observing the gravestones. And the older man kept stopping to point to the names of those already gone. And he would say, "I knew him. Oh, yeah, I worked with him. I knew her." And he would tell a little bit about each one of them. And all of a sudden, he just stopped. And he put his head down. And he was overwhelmed by the fact that he had lived a full life. You know, my friends, one day you and I are going to travel that last long journey too. But in the meantime, we still have life in this world. We have life with its challenges and its blessings, don't we? We have life with its ecstasy and its times of joy. We have life with its pain. We have life with its excitements, its victories, and sometimes its surprises. And we have life with its times of incomparable inspiration when we feel lifted out of ourselves and into the very presence of the Lord. How can anyone really be ungrateful? How can anyone fail to thank God for the joy of living and knowing Jesus? One of the things that we do with our kids that meet with us on Wednesday night, and we've had several new ones come, and they've not missed in since they started coming. And last Wednesday night we had 19. And I still get overwhelmed, and I tell them so. And you try to express your love as you look around, and they've got their feet on your furniture, but you still love them anyway. 19 kids packed into that living room. And there are times I stop and I get tears in my eyes, and I could go around the room, and of course I can call them each by name. I know some of the things that goes on, a few of the things in their life, in their families. And there they sit. And when we finish for the evening, and I finish my study, we close in prayer. And I ask for requests, always. Not always will they have something, but they know that if they bring up a request, they are the ones that pray for it. And sometimes there's four or five requests, and you have four or five. They'll go around the room, and they'll pray for that request specifically. But there's two of them, that especially when they pray, or I'll call on them directly to close, they always include, "Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins." And making it possible for me to go to heaven. Think about that. We take it for granted. We can whip through that very quickly. But when I hear a senior boy pray that, And he's one of our star athletes, and he's one of the most influential we have. And he's sitting there with his head in his hands. And I know the changes that happened to his life. And he says, "Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins so I can go to heaven." That's gratitude. That's gratitude. Share with me this psalm, would you? I'll give it to you in bite-sized pieces. We had it earlier. I will praise you, O Lord. With my whole heart, would you stand? I will tell. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name. You are most high. Father God, we thank you for this time. We take these moments, Father, to give praise and thanks to you, and we worship you. And we do want to give thanksgiving. And as we did with this song earlier, we talked about bringing you an offering to worship you, our King. And the offering you want most from us is not what we have. You want our heart. You want the attitude. You want us inside to be able to say, "You're my master and my Lord, and I have you as my Savior." And then in gratitude, we thank him for what he did on the cross and how it made it possible for us to have our sins forgiven, to have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, and to be on our way to heaven because our destiny has now been changed because of what Jesus did on the cross. What can we say to that? But thank you. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy made it possible. And the Scripture reminds us that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You never asked us to get our act together first. You said, "Let me help you get your act together. You believe in me first." And when you didn't even know me, I was loving you and making preparation for you. Thank you for that, Lord. And we give you praise. In your name we pray, and the church said, Amen. Amen. Amen.